You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the final weekly edition here of Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you on a Friday. Buck, how's it going, man?
Man, it's good, DJ. Really excited. Weekend is coming. Got some good games, college and pro. So excited to talk about it.
You're back on the bird, right? Back on the plane, heading back to London. Bills, which should be a fun one, man. Are you sleeping on that thing? You watching movies? What are you doing?
So what's so crazy? On the way back from London, the 11-hour flight, I didn't turn on the TV at all.
Really?
No, I had Wi-Fi, so I was on the phone. I was looking at everything. I was trying to catch up on the games and the highlights. So I was just kind of nosing my iPhone or my iPad. Doing that. This time I'm going to try and do some of it. I prefer to leave late so I can do the red eye. That'll kind of cut out maybe 5 or 6 of the hours. Then you kind of get a chance to eat. That's the one thing that's good about the international flight. Get a chance to get a good meal. So you eat, and you know, after you eat, you want to go back to sleep. And then before you know it, you're there. So that part is good going. I'll land like in the evening. They have to wake up early to go to the stadium. And then I'm back, man. I fly back early. Monday coming back. I'll say this. I know you've flown internationally. You're a Delta or American?
Like what? I'm an American. I'm like one of the few American flyers here. I know the network. I feel like we got a lot of Delta flyers.
Yeah, I'm a Delta flyer. So the good thing about it, because it's Virgin Atlantic that takes you over. That lounge is different, DJ.
Oh, it's nice, huh? Oof.
They had a Peloton in the lounge. I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't get sweaty.
They have a shower?
Yeah, they have showers in there. But yeah, when you're in London, like they had the nice lounge, had the good meals, all that. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, look, the old scout always lurks inside. Yeah. So there's nothing like,
that's great.
There's nothing like eating and being like, oh, the lounge is open. I'm going to eat again.
No question. So, by the way, I never asked you this before. And just a heads up, we're going to get to Bucky's Coach's Corner, where we have a fun discussion with that each and every week. We take a key term and we dig into that. We're also going to preview a couple games here on the college side, more so than anything else this week. But Buck, I don't think I ever asked you like your go-to meal. I know you liked Waffle House. I know you like Cracker Barrel.
Yeah,
what was your go-to? As a scout.
I mean, I like all those things. Those things are fine. Whenever I would see them on the road, like I would be good. You know, DJ, we're kindred spirits. So if we're rolling, and it's a shameless plug because we don't have a sponsorship, but like Chick-fil-A is always a good one.
Yes.
Can't go wrong. Chick-fil-A is always.
But it wasn't everywhere when we were doing the West.
No, so it's funny. When we were doing the West, you know where it was? It was at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Yes.
On campus. That was like the only place that you could get Chick-fil-A before it expanded all the way out. You know, it's kind of crazy because like since I moved to California, I kind of became like the taco king. So I was always good for finding a good Mexican spot, hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. So you can go ask the people. I was always big on asking the liaison. Hey man, we're the best eats in town.
Were you a let's just put you in the car here. So you're in the car. You've got a 5 hour drive. Let's say you got like the Arizona State, and the next day you got to be in New Mexico or UTEP or whatever. So you've got a little bit of a drive there. Are you a stop, go inside and eat, or are you a grab, throw it in the car, eat and drive?
Back in the day, because knowing me, I can get a little sleepy after I eat. So DJ, I would try not to eat a lot. I try to have like a little snack, a little whatever, because if I sit down and eat, old Buck ain't going to make it to the destination. Buck's going to have to pull over to the rest stop and do whatever. And that was always the challenge, DJ. I don't know how you were, but I had like these personal rules where I never tried to drive like long distance at night, because I would always get worried about, man, I'm getting tired, this and that. So if it was longer, like a 5 or 6 hour, I'm probably going, hey, I'll wait till the next morning, get up early. Maybe I can catch them at practice and kind of do it that way. But yeah, I'm minimal eating. I'm going to have some water or a drink, but I don't want to have too many, because then you got to stop. You know, you got to stop all the time and try and figure out, you don't know where you're going. That drive that you talk about from Arizona State to New Mexico.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of road, not a lot of good spots in between.
I did. So first of all, my go-to spot, I was always the sandwiches. So Quiznos was big back then.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Quiznos, even Quiznos. Subway, just I was a grab a sandwich. I usually was a go and grab it, take it in the car, eat and go. That was, so many long drives. I can remember one time going to see, I think actually it was John Beck, quarterback at BYU. And then after the game, 12 hours to my house. And I'm like, I have a hotel night game, but I'm like, I'd been out on the road for a while. I'm like, I just want to go home, man. I can make it. Just got in the car. Buck, I got to Vegas. I was so tired. I could keep my eyes open. So I pulled off into a hotel parking lot.
Slept in.
I was
there.
Like, I got to get an hour. I need an hour or two. Hour or two.
So what's
close my eyes. I just had to close my eyes. Hour or two. Got some caffeine, I think it was like a big Diet Coke or something, and then I knocked out the rest of the drive. But like it was a no mas. It was like, this ain't gonna end well. You better pull off, man.
Oh, so it's so funny. I hate to even admit. So people know, when you are a scout, either you get a company car or they give you like a car allowance. Allowance could be either $500-$600, pay for whatever you got. So I had a 4Runner. I love my 4Runner, DJ. Well, you gotta get the SUV. Back then, it was like CDs. It had a 6-track, had a 6-6 changer or whatever. But I do remember getting tired on one of those long drives, pulling into the hotel thing, because you already booked all your hotels in training.
Yeah.
And so you're like, hey, this is not on the thing. I'm not going to get another one. And I remember laying the back seat in the 4Runner and just
shut her down. I used to go. I mean, do you remember
that? Yeah.
I can remember being so exhausted after some of these trips, which, by the way, we're making scouting sound terrible. It's not all terrible, but this is a terrible ass. This is pretty.
That was a part of it. Like, it's changed some, but man, you had to drive your territory.
So, yeah. Some teams, and especially on the West Coast, because it's so spread out. East Coast, you could throw a rock and hit the next school. Like, there's so many. But on the West Coast, the territory is vast and you have long drives. And oh man, Buck, I can remember going in and you'd go and watch the tape, talk to all the coaches you need to talk to, and you're like, man, practice doesn't start for 3 hours. Go to the parking deck where you were parked.
Oh,
yeah. Get in the car, crank that seat all the way back, 45 minutes, an hour, done.
Big one. And you learn, I mean, you just learn how valuable a good 30 minute power nap is, just like hitting the restart.
And then people, there'd be college kids, because you're on the college campus, so you got these 19, 20 year olds like walking, they walk by your car. Here's this 30 something year old dude sleeping in his car in a college parking deck. Like, what is going on here? I'm sure it probably looked kind of odd, but you got to get your sleep where you can get it, man.
Oh man. Just those days, those drives. The 10, 11 hour drives, DJ, like the first one is always the long one. Like, so I would always leave from LA and get to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm just gonna make the drive. So they got to go through Vegas.
Probably 10 Vegas. To 12 somewhere.
Oh
there.
Man, just a drive. You just humping it, trying to get it out the way, because you want to try and get those long trips out the way early in the fall. Because then you try and catch them on the road But like that second visit, you know, hey, I'm going to catch them at a game. All right, Arizona State's going to come to LA. I'll do that. I'll watch them against USC. I'll make a call to my guy, the liaison, and get it done. But the road trips, the long road trips, particularly out west, there's nothing, DJ, that
we're talking about going up to Oregon, Washington, Montana, like Wyoming, Colorado. Ugh. Like that's how it's math. Look at a map. Look at how spread out it is out here.
I mean, it's long. Yeah, the Montanas.
The Dakotas. I used to make that trip.
That was my cross check area. That was not anything, but man, the Dakota. You can go as fast as you want though. Like, I mean,
yeah, Mike, you go hundo.
You can cover some ground. But it's a long drive. You gotta do those
early. No question. All right, let's do Bucky's coaching corner this week. This week the word that you have selected is focus, Buck. So what do you have for us?
Okay, this goes back to my time in the National Football League playing under one of the greatest coaches in the NFL, Marty Schottenheimer. Marty won 200 regular season games. I think one of only 7 or 8 coaches to have done that. And he always would have a theme of the week. And sometimes the theme would be about focus. But focus, the way that he phrased it, he did it in a different way. And it's really become the way that you hear a lot of great coaches talk about it. Nick Saban talks about his process. He'll talk about a single moment in time. Marty used to use one play at a time. It was about one play at a time, focus one play at a time. Whatever that play looks like, good or bad, doesn't matter because you have to go to the next one. And when you really think about having that level of focus where you put everything into that single moment of time, you put all your energy into, I'm going to play this play the best that I can play it. And no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, I got to leave it behind and go to the next one. Well, DJ, when you think about the way that everyone goes, the successful people and what they do is they're able to break big things and make them really small along the way. Hey, so rather than think about, hey, how are we going to win this week? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure if the game is on Friday night, let's make sure Monday we win Monday. So let's focus on great Monday practice. Then the next day you go to Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Then ultimately the result on Friday is the accumulation of the things that you do Monday through Thursday. And if you can get your team, you can get your team members and people to focus on, let's be great in the single moment and the results will take care of themselves. A lot of times, DJ, the success will surprise you just because you've been able to lock in and really focus on the things that you can control. And the only thing that you really can control is your attitude and your effort in that single moment. You give everything that you have in that single moment. You leave it out there. You move to the next one. And if you stack up enough of those positives, those wins, in those little moments, at the end of the day on the scoreboard, your team is going to be successful.
I love it. I think back to what we just talked about last week when we went into the best of on the 1,000th episode, the Joe Montana line talked about, you know, when he was talking about focus, talking about preparation and then concentration. So the preparation to get you to the moment and then the concentration when you're in the moment, that's basically what you're describing there as focus. And I was thinking about it too. If you think about like, before the play, during the play, after the play. If you think about eliminating distractions before the play, you think about executing the play, and then afterwards evaluating the play, and then moving on to the next one. So, in other words, I got to know where I'm supposed to be. Okay, now the play starts. I got to do what I'm supposed to do. The play ends. What went right? What went wrong? Wash it and do the same thing over and over again throughout the game. But it's being locked. Literally, we use that phrase all the time. Like, hey, lock in, lock in. Like, that is very difficult to do in athletics.
It's the hardest thing to accomplish, not only as a player, but as a coach, to get everyone to have that kind of mindset. Hey, one play at a time. I'm going to focus on this. DJ, I'll be honest with you, it's hard as a coach to lock in and be so dialed in on each and every play that your mind doesn't wander or drift. And you have to constantly tell yourself, hey, one play at a time. Got to focus on this one. I have to do those things. Do a little code words that you may use. You talked about before every play at defensive back, they used to always talk about alignment, assignment, adjustment. Where do I align? What is my assignment? Okay, if there's a motion, what is the adjustment? Let me go ahead and think through all these things. And now we're playing. Oh, okay, move. Got to go to it. But it requires that kind of discipline. And really, it requires that kind of, I would say, competitive stamina, concentration stamina. Can you do that over and over and over again? We've seen it from a scouting standpoint. When you bring in a young player, a player that you feel great about, they got a lot of talent, but the consistency is not there because they can't lock in, concentrate, and focus. One of the hardest things to do at any level, but particularly in the pros, is can you consistently do what is expected of you down in, down out? And the only way that you're going to be able to do it is being able to focus one play at a time.
Yeah, and I think there's also something to that, even if we go on the outskirts of football into the scouting world, which we lived in. Obviously, for those who know, Buck obviously played the game on both sides of the ball, and then is a coach now, but obviously a long time as a scout when we were doing that together. And I think about focus in that profession. Man, when you've been out on the road and all of a sudden you've racked up a couple big mm-hmm. schools, and then all of a sudden, let's just use the school that you mentioned earlier. You're at Cal Poly, mm-hmm. and you look at the list, and they just got a guy who the National or Blesto Scouting Services have as a undrafted free agent. I can go into that school. I can go through the motions. I've written that report 500 times. But then you've got to go in there and focus and leave yourself open to it. Man, this guy's played great the last 3 weeks. Oh, man, I just talked to somebody else associated with the program that said early this year he was playing with an injury. I don't think anybody knows that he was playing with this injury.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not there and dialed in and focused, you're going to miss something. And somebody that is focused that organization can have a leg up on you, because that day when you were tired and you were worn down and you weren't dialed in, they got a good player, a good opportunity you missed out
on. So it goes all the way back to those meetings when we have kind of shed some light on how those draft meetings can go, when you're sitting around and either everyone is looking at the highlight tape or you're looking at an individual game and everyone's around you and you may have a big grade on a player. And then you're looking at the player like, man, this dude looks nothing like my report reads.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
And it's a lack of focus that can get you. And that is why we try and build in these protections against ourselves. Hey, got to go see everybody two or three times. So if one of those days you go in there, you're like, oh, man, I didn't like him. The next time you go back in, oh, maybe I was tired. I don't know what I didn't like about this guy. It's being able to do that. But every day you show up, every day you show up as a scout, your job is to give the best effort to make sure that you do a solid evaluation. No one wants to have to answer for, why do we have Brock Purdy as a reject? How come? So we're saying Brock Purdy wasn't draftable, that Brock Purdy couldn't be a player, or any of those stories where we've seen late rounders or undrafted picks. A lot of times it's an inability to focus that prevents you from being able to give guys their just due as prospects.
So let me ask you this question. As somebody who's been on both sides of this thing from the player coach side of things, this is what I always push back against, because we've all been around the coaches that sleep at the office. We've all been around the guys that it's so all consuming, they don't have any ability to shut it out. And if I was going to make this statement, I think it's accurate, that fatigue is an enemy of focus. Mm-hmm. So if you think about players being tired late in the game, they lose their focus. What do you get? You get dumb penalties. You get mental errors. You get busts. Well, why would that not apply to coaches? You guys don't. A coach doesn't get any sleep. He gets no rest. And then you're like, man, he lost. There's a brain cramp on that timeout or that call or this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, well, they're still freaking fatigued. They're so tired. How do we think the coach is going to focus? It's the same exact thing with the player.
It is absolutely 100% the same thing. As a coach or as a leader, business person, you have to be ready to lock in and concentrate. One of the things, and I remember, man, Rick Pitino wrote a book, Success is a Choice. This is right after he had success at Kentucky. And DJ, it might have been the number one thing that he put in there. If you're going to orchestrate a turnaround, you got to be in great shape, because it requires a lot of stamina to put the energy in to turn around a program or turn around a business or those things. Well, another part of that is you got to rest and recover, because you got to have the energy every day to attack it with the same vigor to be able to get it done. And so the lack of focus can stem from, hey, man, I'm working long hours. I'm doing all this. We want to make sure we outwork everybody. But there is something too. Hey, let's work smarter, not harder. Let's be efficient in what we're doing. We've heard the stories about Tony Dungy talking about, hey, man, everyone needs to be out of here at dinner time because I'm going to eat with my family.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
man, do you remember going to Cal? Remember going to Cal on the visit?
Yeah.
Going to Cal on the visit? Yeah. It might have been during the Tefford era where they would have, like, you would see the blow-up mattresses in the corner of the
coach's, all the cots.
Coach's office, and you're like, man, you're sleeping on a cot? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's a lot of them like that. They weren't alone.
Yeah, and you're just looking like, man, is an extra hour of tape at,
how's that working?
At midnight?
Yeah.
Is that is that going to help you, or should you just shut it down, come back fresher and do it? And DJ, now in today's time, with the attention span of this generation, and I'm not being the old man on it, it's just different. Think about you being around the Chargers and what the coaches may say. Hey, man, we can't go longer than about 15, 16 minutes before we have to kind of give them a break to let them. So the biggest challenge now is trying to teach young people, young players in the league, how to lock in and concentrate, how to focus. Hey, one play at a time. We got to be able to focus. Just give me 15 minutes of your time. Then I'm going to give you a technology break, or 15 minutes you can go have a 2-minute water break or whatever it is. It's really difficult, but I think it's difficult for everybody to be able to lock in and focus. I think that is one of the things that also was revealing about the pandemic, how hard it is for us to be able to just focus with great concentration, great attention to detail over the course of a significant amount of time.
Yep, and I think also a big part of that, you got to eliminate the distractions. So you can't juggle 9 million things and be focused. It doesn't work that way. You've got to cut some things out, and I think that's something that it's a great lesson. That's why I love Bucky's Coach's Corner each and every week. All right, we've talked all week long about a lot of these NFL games. I want to get to a couple questions about some college games. We're going to get to that right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
All right, Buck, looking at the college slate, it's one I find really intriguing because you look at some of these matchups, Texas, Oklahoma, obviously the historical rivalry there. That's going to be a fun one. You look down at the SEC matchup between Missouri and LSU, intrigued by that one. That's going to be really interesting. A great game in the Pac-12 with Washington State, UCLA, even Alabama at A&M should be fun with anytime you get Jimbo Fisher going up against a Nick Saban team. There's going to be some fireworks there. But I want to start with this one because I want to get your thoughts on it. Ohio State, Maryland. Maryland's undefeated, kind of under the radar right now, undefeated with Loxley at the helm there as the head coach. But got to his little brother at quarterback. Did you know him or get to be around him at all through any of the Elite 11
stuff? Yeah, so I coached both of them. So Tua was on my team 1 year at the opening. We won a championship, had his brother a few years later. And, you know, the toughest thing his brother had to deal with was the expectations, you know, trying to get out of Tua's shadow. And we saw that when he went to Alabama, he eventually had to leave and went to Maryland, joined up with Loxley. He's talented, DJ, and some would say that he's more talented than Tua. The difference is Tua was always locked in, the prodigy. He was the first one. He had all the stuff about him. But he's finding his way. And I will say this about Loxley, and we had this conversation early in the year, Loxley and I had. He said, look, man, I understand how to do this thing at a high level, because he took basically everything that he learned from working with Nick Saban, the process and going about it, the practice structure, structuring the office, structuring like the responsibilities that every staff member, every coaching member has, how he challenges players. A lot of that came from his time at Alabama. He has basically taken that model, and everyone is talking about what Kirby Smart has been able to do at Georgia and what Sark is doing at Texas. At Maryland, Loxley's done a really good job of basically taking the Alabama blueprint and transforming that program. He also has used what he learned from his time with Ralph Fridgen up there. But this is
the Fridge.
Yeah, like this team is good, man. And if Ohio State is sleepwalking, they can get caught. This would be a great game to watch. Because I'm waiting for, on the Ohio State standpoint, I'm waiting for Marvin Harrison Jr. to remind us of why we're so excited about his talents and what he could do.
Well, he got hurt, too. That didn't help. Buck, I'm looking it up right now. So the from the official number, scouting numbers on do I pronounce it Talia?
Yes.
Tagovailoa? Yeah. Okay, Talia was 5'10", 5", so 5'10 and a half, 197 pounds. So, I mean, he's smaller. He's smaller than Tua. But he's somebody that, you know, you talk about production, he's gotten better, and he's been there for 5 years. So one of those nuggets we talked about with guys, you know, having success at the next level early on is guys that have played a lot of ball, Brock Purdy being the latest kind of example of that. This guy's been around for a long time.
He has been around for a long time. I had a chance to talk to him, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, all this summer at Elite 11. And he just talked about handling the pressure, the expectations, and all the things that have been heaped on him. Being the guy. But DJ, we talked about with experience comes a level of expertise, and the fact he's a 5-year player, that he's been around the block a few times. He has coaches around him that have also developed really good quarterbacks. He's played well. He's been a game changer for the Maryland program. This, to me, from a draft standpoint, man, this might be the biggest game that he'll play in terms of us being able to see,
yeah,
you know, good on good, seeing against top competition. He plays well this weekend. Man, they can do wonders for his NFL draft stock.
Back to Marvin Harrison Jr. He had an ankle, which he said is worse than the one he had last year, but said it's good enough to play. So he'll play in the game.
He's been,
not 100%.
Not 100%. And I remember watching when he kind of rolled it again versus Notre Dame, kind of just blocking. Somebody just kind of rolled up on him. But, man, he is so good. And they are so good on the perimeter. They did such a great job with their wide receivers. They make the game easy for the quarterback. Maryland will be interesting because the one thing we always talk about when it comes to Maryland, we may not know about the draft prospects this time of year, but, man, when it comes to the spring, they always going to have some intriguing athletes. This is a team
that they can all run.
This is a team that has great athleticism and skill throughout the program. It'd be good to see these two teams square off.
Let me get a high school update on a couple other kids. Let's go Texas, Oklahoma. Just what you remember of Quinn Ewers and what you remember of Dylan Gabriel going through the process at all.
Okay, I do remember Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers is one of the quarterbacks that we have, and he had a lot of hype around him. Remember, he skipped, I think, his final season
in
high school.
Yeah, he went to Ohio State early, a year early.
Yeah, to be able to go. And when you talk to the people at Texas in high school, man, he's a legend. When I was around him, I always worried about, and look, it's only 7-on-7, so it doesn't mean anything, like, I worried about his ability to process things really quickly because in high school, everything was so wide open for him. He had, he had this cocky thing about him where he had this long
hair. He had the mullet back in the day.
The mullet, long hair, that was part of his stick. And you wonder what's really real. Now, I see a guy that is really locked.
It's all business now.
And he is locked in. Sark has done a really good job with him. He's playing well, and he hasn't flinched. I mean, the fact that they brought in other people at the position, he still kind of goes about his work, does his thing, not bothered by it. And this Texas team, DJ, I read some of the stuff. It wasn't filmed.
And Bruce, did you see Bruce wrote an article about how them being back? Yeah,
them being back. People talk about how they move people around and toughness and the physicality and all of that. That win against Alabama was really eye opening because they went right to the bully and hit the bully right in the mouth. This is a team that's really good. I want to see though, in the first hype game that they'll have them against their rival. I want to see how they take care of business against Oklahoma.
Yep. And anything on Dylan Gabriel? Did he go through Elite 11 at all?
He might have, but I didn't. I can't remember because I didn't coach.
He's
him
fun
first.
To watch. He's. I mean, yeah, I don't know how good. That's going to all translate, but he's a fun quarterback to watch.
I mean, yeah, look, he's a good player. He's been kind of running around.
He's played forever too.
I think that's the secret sauce. I think right now, DJ, as much as everyone wants to kind of fast forward and go through it, there's some benefit to playing 3-4 years in college, getting a bunch of snaps, a bunch of starts, winning games. Mm-hmm. All that matters. NFL scouts are kind of hip to the game because the longer Brock Purdy continues to live in Cinderella's glass slipper, mm-hmm. the more teams are going to start look for, hey, who's the next one? Who's the next guy that has a lot of experience, who has the knowledge and know-how to be able to guide a team to the winner's circle? Where's the next one at? Who's going to be the next experienced college player to be able to kind of maybe surprise and develop into a franchise quarterback?
This is his fifth year starting games. So, I mean, he's played a ton of football. Again, not the biggest guy in the world. But he's very efficient. He's very accurate. Started out at UCF and then is at Oklahoma. He's done a nice job. I'm looking forward to that game. It should be fun. And I think it's interesting if you look at things from like a USC's perspective, who have has the elite quarterback in Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Texas is an interesting example of they're not as good at quarterback with Quinn Ewers. He's good, but man, they are dominant up front along the offensive line. The defensively, they've really made some strides up front as well. I think that's going to be the challenge for SC in looking into the future when Caleb Williams is gone. They're not going to have Caleb Williams. They have a good player there. They're always going to have good quarterbacks with Lincoln Riley, but they need to get better everywhere else around him. And Texas has kind of built a fortress where they're not going to be as quarterback dependent maybe as some of these other schools because they're going to be so good up front.
That's the benefit that Sark had in being able to go to Alabama and see how it was done a few different ways with Saban. You know, because you remember, like, they did it. They were flashy and glitzy, and they had all this stuff with Lane Kiffin. It changed a little bit under Sark. It changed some of that under Sark because of Saban wanted a different style, wanted to kind of grind it a little bit and do those things. And we know how much the running game can help a quarterback. Sark gets that. He gets how important it is to be trench warriors, dominate the point of attack on both sides of the ball, gives you a chance to win against any and every team. That's all you can hope for. And they certainly had that recipe.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to being home on a Saturday for once to get a chance to cozy up on the couch and watch a bunch of these college football games. Obviously, great NFL slate as well, including the big matchup between the 49ers and the Cowboys. We'll be back next Monday, and we'll be able to recap all the action as well as taking a peek at how these rookies have performed, which we do each and every week. Again, 5 days a week on Move the Sticks. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. We would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review. Those help us out as well. Over 1,000 episodes and on our way to the next 1,000. So we appreciate you hanging with us, and we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.